Have you ever woken up in the morning sometime during the last several months and wondered if everything we're being told about this pandemic is actually true?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, before you say, Bob, you're just a denier. You're some kind of a skeptic. This virus is real and we all need to wear our face mask and we'll get it over with. Yet we see doctors that can remind you that there have been multiple, many, many double-blind studies to find out the effectiveness of using a paper or cloth face covering in the face of a virus. And they all have come back the same. They don't work. But so why are we wearing these face coverings? What in the world is going on? Why can you protest in the streets? Why can you fly in an airliner and wear just a little paper diaper on your face? And you can fly, but going to church is so evil and horrible and people are just going to die. There's an insanity to this around the world. And I see governments taking advantage of this to have more control in your personal life. Father John Peck is a priest out in Arizona. He's in the Orthodox Church. And the Lord has laid upon his heart a real mission and mission work to prepare the church for the day that we're no longer allowed to participate openly as we have in this country. Now, before you say that'll never happen, just look at what has happened in just the past 6 months. In some countries, it's getting even worse. We need to be observant. We need to be ready, and we need to be prepared. So, Father John, I'm going to ask you this question. How long, how many more days, weeks, or months, or years before we as the church find ourselves, shall we say, in the crosshairs, the target, when they're going to be restricting how we can even function as a church in this country?
We're there. We're already there. The things that are happening, for example, in Australia are unprecedented tyranny there. Mm-hmm. California, of course, is a terrible test case, but it's a test balloon for the elite and for the push toward keeping everybody isolated and alone. As long as they have internet and they can order Amazon Prime, they'll be fine. That's mm-hmm. kind of how everybody's thinking about it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are alongside of it. They're virtue shaming anyone that doesn't care enough about them to wear a mask. But like I said before, this is a virus with an almost 100% survival rate. There's no reason to have a vaccine for this.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning that. I'm glad you're mentioning all that because I've been doing some research. And let me see if I can pull up my exact numbers here. I think if you're like under the age of 20, and if you are to contract this virus, in other words, if you even get it, you may not even get it, your survival rate is 99.9997. Yeah. Did you hear me say that? 99.9997%. And then it's like 99.998% or something for 25 to 49. And even an old guy like me, it's still 99 point something percent. Like 99.58 or 99.85. Can't remember. You got to get into your 80s before it drops down to a 95% survival rate. And that's still considering comorbilities.
Flu has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It still has what seasonal flu has. So it's been much ado about nothing. Now, admittedly, if you have it, and you have a bad case of it, it's deadly. I know nurses that are working with patients in the ICU, but again, you can't judge the entire thing by those who are in the worst category at the ICU. Mm-hmm. This is just one of the rollouts that we're anticipating. Will continue. We expect a lot of things to drop off after November. But mm-hmm. We don't expect the governors here in America, for example, who have used this as an excuse to seize power, to hand over the power. They will continue, switching back and forth from the death ray to the sickness ray. They'll always cobble, you know, that old saying, figures don't lie, but liars can figure.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
I'm sure that that's exactly what's happening. Now, on our side, as I mentioned last time, you know, what does the church do in the middle of all this? Well, mm-hmm. the church does what it always does. It baptizes, it preaches the gospel, mm-hmm. it marries, it buries, it hears confessions, and it anoints the sick and cares for the poor. None of that is going to change. However, the push toward a social credit system in this country is already underway. It's being done very quietly. But those who are publicly espousing traditional values, those who are publicly espousing Christian faith, will have a lower social credit score.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be harder to get permission to fly around where you want it. I know it's terrible to say, but permission in America mm-hmm. to fly somewhere.
It's coming.
You're correct. It's going to be harder for Christians to get good interest rates if they have to buy a house or buy a car. Just what they're doing in China, they're just doing it slower and more quietly here.
Mm.
And so Christians have to, if pastors aren't attending right now to what if they don't already have plans in place right now, it's almost too late.
I believe it.
They got to think tactically about this. If, for example, you know, everybody is being tracked by their phone, then people have to get used to leaving their phones behind when they go anywhere out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be very aware of how they do it. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do things. You know, a bookstore, for example, can house a chapel and still just be a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Or a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's a lot of virtuous industry that the churches can get involved in that can double as places of meeting and worship and things like that. But at all times, the key is not to simply disappear, but to simply look like everybody else.
Exactly.
And that's where I don't think a lot of, and I'm not trying to denigrate other pastors, I don't think they're thinking about this properly.
I think we're so used to living in a country where we've been told we have religious freedom, and we keep telling ourselves these things will never happen in America. I know too many good people that say all we need to do is just vote for this person and that person, and everything will be just fine. And I keep telling them, there are some wonderful people you can vote for, but they will be overwhelmed by the powers that are out there. We keep forgetting this is spiritual warfare. This is not a voting booth warfare that we're involved with now. Nobody seems to want to acknowledge that what was said by St. John, that the spirit of Antichrist is already here. And we do,
indeed.
So many people do not want to acknowledge it. They just think all we need is we'll get it fixed in no time. We'll just vote for this person, and all these problems will just go away. It's not,
and it's impossible for that to happen. Yeah, it's too far down the road, and that means that it's no longer wise to think about avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wise to think about how to get through it.
And we're going to be going through it.
This is the lesson of the last 100 years, of the last century,
mm-hmm.
when Marxism counted up at least 150 million bodies,
mm-hmm.
Most of them Christian, ironically.
Yes.
Marxism had its chance, and with 150 million under its belt, it doesn't get a second chance. It's the same reason people say, well, maybe we could try the Islamic system. Islam has 300 million, at least,
mm-hmm.
probably closer to 600 million bodies and counting. So they don't get a chance at that. People say, well, you Christians, you had the Crusades, you had the Inquisition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, you had the Salem witch trials, and you can be generous. You add the Crusades, and you can be generous, and the Inquisition and burnings at the stake and everything. It doesn't even approach a million.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close. And that's if you're super liberal about how many died.
Yes.
So it appears that Christianity actually is a cultural buffer for violence, mm-hmm. actually, because compared to everyone else, although it is tragic, when those things happen, when mm-hmm. civil authorities get their dander up and use the church on their own for their own purposes. But Christianity itself is a buffer against violence, and I think this is why it has to go in the minds of the people who want to see not only a one world government, because that's already here, but a one world religion. They want to have a one world religion,
which is humanism,
which is the only acceptable. It'll be the only acceptable religion, and they will say, look, you can have your own idea of what God is, but as long as we're all talking about God, then it's okay. Then we're really all the same. We're just different paths and all that other stuff. And that will be the introduction of the world religion. Well, we know that game. That's not a shell game we're going to fall for, but it does mean that we have to be careful and make provisions. We have to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, like the Lord said.
Yes.
For us, we have an elder from the last century, St. Paisius the Athenite, and he said Christians in the 21st century will be saved and indeed sanctified by three things. One, passing on the Orthodox Christian faith, especially to their children and grandchildren. Two, daily repentance, and believe me, I think we both know that repentance isn't sexy. You don't build mega churches by preaching repentance, but without repentance, there's no salvation. So daily repentance. And three, receiving the grace from the sacraments of the church.
Yes, yes.
Those pastors who are going to be responsible for distributing those sacraments cannot sit back and say, well, you can go to Target, you can go to Walmart, you can protest, you can be on planes right next to each other.
That's right, and that's what's insane. Let's stop right there for just a moment. And I've talked about this on the radio program several times, and I'm sure I'll be talking about it again. Look at an airliner just for a moment. If you've flown, and I used to fly a lot, and how many times do we take those special medications just to avoid getting a cold or the flu or anything else in that little tube that's flying in the sky at 36,000 feet, recycling the same air from everybody around us? How do you survive in a 120-foot tube that's about 7 foot tall barely and only about 8 foot wide, and you got hundreds of people that are packed like sardines in that tube? And we're saying that if you wear your little paper mask, we'll all be just fine and dandy. But that paper mask only works in an airliner. It only works outdoors. It only works in a grocery store. It only works in a Walmart, because it never can work in a church. Now, explain that. How does that work?
Yeah, it's just the conditioning that will be their knee-jerk reaction, and not actually try to reason it out or think carefully about it. You can say, well, it's all based on fear. But fear is a powerful motivator. So constantly repeating these things that are dangerous, people will go to McDonald's without a problem. They'll touch a touchscreen without any difficulty. But suddenly they're terrified to go to church, and their clergy, who, like, as I said last time, even around here, have told their parishioners, we're not even having church again until 2021. Well, baby, that ain't the church.
I'm telling you,
not the church.
Let's give some credit to Dr. John MacArthur out in California at Grace Community Church. He has gotten, I actually have a source out there. I'm not going to reveal the person's name. This individual is an attorney and also a former news reporter, someone that I know, and I keep in touch, and I keep asking, so what's the latest count out there at Grace Community Church? How many people have died of the coronavirus at Grace Community Church? How many people are infected at Grace Community Church? And how many people have had to go to the hospital and put on a ventilator at Grace Community Church? And the answer is always the same. Nobody. Nobody at all. And but we can't meet, but you can fly. You can go to certain places, but you can't meet at church. And so churches have been systematically singled out in many of the blue states, not so bad in the red states, but in many of the blue states, they have been overly singled out. and because the church can be the conscience of a moral people. And I think many of these leaders do not want to follow moral standards any longer.
No, they know, because they know that a people that are even slightly educated, but educated, the purpose of education is moral development. A people who have even the slightest moral development are difficult to govern, but they're impossible to enslave. So you start by taking away their moral compass. You start by, you know, if there are 52 genders, then there are no genders.
Mm-hmm.
If anything can mean marriage, then there is no such thing as marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and I do say this with a great deal of pain in my heart, there's too many apostate pastors out there that just can't stand up and say 2 + 2 = 4. Marriage is for a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
There are only two genders. Abortion is murder, and therefore it's not health care. It's a dwindling. It's good that the things are being winnowed so that people can be tested in the fire and prepared for the things that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. That's very hard, but it is good. But if those men aren't really carefully thinking about how they're going to minister to each soul in their church in the worst kind of oppressive environment, because it is unrolling.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. It is.
It's going to be too late when they see the stop sign. It's going to be too late to stop.
Let's quickly get people up to date on what's going on. This is the program Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. My guest today, Father John Peck, and we'll be talking with him in just a moment here. I want to remind you about the website. The website is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. And I would like to thank those that have lately been sending me some nice cards and letters and mail to just the regular street address. And the one we use here in Georgia, we'll be here probably close to the end of the year. So if you'd like to maybe send me a note by regular mail, it is 21 Berkshire Lane, 21 Berkshire, Berkshire. And right after that word, Berkshire Lane, add the number 263. That's our special box numbering system in our little tiny community up here in the mountains. 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, the zip code 30537. That is Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. Once again, and the webpage, you can send an email to me from there, is truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. My guest, Father John Peck, I want to welcome you back to the program, and I want to ask you a couple of other questions. If we are now at that precipice where we are being really ready to become the persecuted church, and I really see that happening. When I look at what is happening for the Supreme Court nomination, the people that say they're good Catholics are now condemning this individual for being a good Catholic, which makes no sense. It is illogical. What is your take on how they're just, you know, lining up to destroy her if they can?
We have the advantage of 100 years of history, a evil man who coined a perfect term for this. Stalin was very, very well known for bullying and utilizing the church and members in the church to accomplish his means, and he called them useful idiots. You can say, well, you hope the crocodile eats you last. No, these people were believers. And we have them today. We have Christians who are socialists. We have Christians who are Marxists. Mm-hmm. They know darn well that that there's a body count of Christians in this ideology, and yet they don't take their morality or even their spirituality. They don't take it from the church. Mm-hmm. They take it from the world.
Yes.
And a Christian who has lost his saltiness, what good is he? He is no good, and he is, you know, cast out to be trampled down. That's what's going to happen to the people who do that. Now, Catholics make up a big block, so they're the most visible of it. But make no mistake, just on things like Zogby and Pew polls, over 40% of evangelicals and Catholics hold at least one New Age or Gnostic belief as a Christian truth.
And they're not.
Right. It's crazy. So if they no longer have the church as its moral guide, mm-hmm. but simply the state, then whatever the state declares to be lawful, it therefore ergo equals good, and whatever the state declares to be unlawful or illegal must therefore be bad.
You know, I thought about something last weekend, you know, as they're talking about Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and it was Chuck Schumer from New York that when they announced that it was going to be Amy Comey Barrett, and he said, and this one line just sticks out of my head, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is spinning in her casket in heaven, where I'd never thought about that, but that's exactly what he said. Makes no sense. But I mean, once again, it's the New Age religion that all dogs go to heaven kind of thinking, that no matter who you are, if you're a good person and you do certain things, that everything is fine. And I've met a lot of people like that, that think that all you have to do is be, you know, good and kind, wear your face mask, and you go to heaven. That's kind of the thinking today. Am I wrong?
And of course, there's nothing biblical about that at all. The Bible says there is no one who does good, not one. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, through repentance. Mm-hmm. If someone is hard, you know, we both know that as you get older, you don't mellow with age.
No.
You either repent or you harden in your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know the spiritual state of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's soul, but she supported a lot of evil policies, and she has to answer for that.
Yes.
In the same way, we have to answer for the evil that we've done. The key is to face the fact that, like Fulcher Mifflin said, the line between good and evil goes right through every human heart.
Yes.
We have to repent if we want our nation to change. We have to repent if we want God to save and protect us. But Schumer is just repeating the line. Everybody goes to heaven, see? And people,
especially like, if they're like Ruth, you know, who's just their hero. I mean, she of all people has to be there. I mean, that's their thinking.
Right. If she's not there, then none of us will get there.
Yes.
But isn't that what Jesus said? You know, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And the Jews, who looked at riches as God's grace, gracious gift for a righteous life, they said, well, if the rich can't make it, who can possibly be saved?
That's right.
So, well, that was the thing. With God, with men, this is impossible. With God, it's possible. But only with God is possible. People forget that we're in the middle of an intense spiritual struggle, the spiritual struggle not only for the nation, but for your soul right now.
Amen.
Yours and mine. It can't be belittled, and in the name of the Lord, we dare not hand it over to government officials, even those that we elect.
Yes.
Because men seek power, and they don't relinquish power.
Mm-hmm.
They don't relinquish power. They don't like it. It's one of the geniuses of our system is that elected officials are supposed to relinquish power. That's how the system works, but it only works with the moral people that want to follow the law.
That's true. Listen, we're going to take a break real quick, and I want to let people know you're listening to the program Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. My guest for the hour is Father John Peck, and he is in the Orthodox Church, and we're going to talk a little bit about his church background, and also, as Christians, that those that really believe, this is a warning shot. I mean, you can say what you want. Look at the mask shaming going on. Those numbers right now. You know, we were told early on in this pandemic that we were going to have millions of people die, that, you know, 3, 5, or 8% of the people that catch this virus are going to die. And we have people that are in their 30s with their eyes bugged wide open. And they're wearing their gloves and their face mask and raincoats and doing everything they can possibly think of to escape being affected and killed by this virus. You're told if you don't wear this mask, you're going to kill somebody. And notice how we went from a mask may protect you till it doesn't protect you. Well, maybe we protect somebody else. So instead of, you know, it's not a matter that my mask protects me. It's my mask is protecting the other person. We're guilted into something that is false, that is not even true. And 50 years of scientific research is just tossed out the window for this new political narrative. So let's go with the numbers real quick as we go to the break. If you are 0 to 19 years of age, your survival rate is 99.997. If you are up to 49 years of age, it is 99.98 for those that get the virus. If you're under 70, it's still 99.5%. And even 70 plus, it is not, you know, these huge numbers. You know, we're talking people with comorbidity that are literally in their 90s, in their the average age 86 in that group, still 95%. It's not the numbers that we were told everybody would be facing. We were implied that everybody would face those kind of numbers. And right now we see in Australia the most unprecedented lockdowns in that nation's history. It is coming here if we let it happen. And the church is going to be one of those things that is in the way of controlling the narrative. Because we have a narrative that is one that is positive and full of life. And they're scaring us with their narrative of death. This is Truth to Ponder.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to the second half of Truth to Ponder. For this Thursday, I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I want to remind you very quickly about our website. It is truth2ponder.com. That is truth2ponder.com. I really need to hear from you. Is this program or podcast been a blessing? Has it been helping you in your walk, in your life, and giving you information that's becoming increasingly hard to find in a propaganda news media? Today, as you know, my guest is Father John Peck. He's originally from Detroit. He lives out in Arizona. He has numerous degrees, but in his church work, he's been very led in his mind and his heart to prepare the church for that day and that time when we may be forced back underground like the early Christians because, well, what Christians have to say is, frankly, just not popular. So I welcome John back to this portion of the program with the question, why do so many people believe the church is some kind of a threat? And as we've seen during this pandemic, is singled out worse than almost any other organization on the face of the earth. Why would that be?
I think one of the most important things that people realize and what makes the church such a danger to the sort of world rule is that the church is a community. It's based on community. And the old saying, one Christian is no Christian, always applies. Now, pastors have to, of course, they've got to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Mm-hmm. They've got to be careful not to expose their people to what's perhaps going on. But what in reality has to happen is that Christians have to build up their own communities. In urban areas, there'll be surreptitious communities quietly existing sort of under the surface, gray man type camouflage. But mm-hmm. in reality, churches need to have a little bit of property that Christians can gather around in community. One of the things that I learned in my studies in public administration at the graduate level, I never got my graduate degree there, unfortunately, I had to move, but I did learn a lot, which I appreciated.
Oh, yeah, it happens. Was that,
yeah, imagine that. Once you have 30 households, which isn't that much, mm-hmm. once you have 30 households, that community is basically what we call socially self-sustaining. It can sustain a gas station. It can sustain a grocery store, mm-hmm. even a little one, the mom-and-pop store.
Right.
It can sustain its own support businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christians have to start doing. Christians have to, they got to get away from high rents and as much as possible get onto some property and have these communities,
mm-hmm.
without which you'll never be able to know who you can trust and who you can't. You'll never be able to know what's going on. You'll have to be isolated, which is exactly what they want.
Let me ask this question. I believe that you was it you that wrote this article, I think, on a website called Good Men Wear Black. Does that sound like one of your websites?
That is it. Good Guys Wear Black.
Yeah, and there was something about the Office of Deacon that I think you're the writer of this particular article, how the early church was small and they all knew each other. And the deacons would look out for those when the time of worship came to make sure that those that did not belong were trying to infiltrate or enter or cause trouble. And we're almost getting to that point again now, that we need to have churches. Look, mega churches are wonderful things in a free society, but we're about to become in a non-free society. And we're already seeing it happen. We're already seeing, I remember months ago, Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago, you know, was so determined to keep this one church from worshiping that she had the police tow every car that was parked on this particular road. Unfortunately, it wasn't the people that were going to the church. They parked somewhere else. They were picking up all the wrong cars. But still, it was such an animosity and a hatred toward the church. But a Black Lives Matter protest? No problem. You want to protest against the president? No problem. You want to go worship in church? It is a huge problem. And as we said in the first half of the program, you can fly in an airliner stuffed in like sardines, and as long as you're wearing your little, you know, 35-cent China-made paper mask, you're good to fly, which makes absolutely no sense. So what are some of the first steps? You're talking about find a place of property, get away from your high rents. I know that, you know, it could happen. We're in that process now. What about social media? A lot of churches are very dependent upon their social media. What kind of things should they be maybe looking for to have as a workaround?
Well, all they got to do is remember 10 years ago before they were using social media, if it's possible for them to do that. It's not that hard to have church without social media. It's not that hard to have church where you're not simply feeding everyone's laziness,
mm-hmm.
For staying in touch with church members and with church things that are going on. My church still publishes a physical bulletin every week,
mm-hmm.
and it has what's happening. It has the scripture readings. What's in it is almost much less important than the fact that they can take it. And mm-hmm. it's a physical thing, so it can't be hacked. It's just mm-hmm. available to them. Real simple. The workarounds are not complicated. People just have to get their mind out of being plugged into their phone like it's an electronic nanny.
Or extension of themselves. It's like being a Borg. You know, right. If you ever watch Star Trek, it's kind of making us part of the machine. And this utter dependency, I think, is very dangerous. But, you know, you're right. It wasn't that many years ago that maybe we had a website, maybe we had an email address to communicate with each other. But suddenly, and this really disturbs me a little bit, and I have a very close bishop friend in a related church body, and we have this discussion about all the new YouTube stars because of the coronavirus that are out there as YouTube pastors, and they think they're going to reach millions, and they're lucky to reach a half a dozen. What do we can't depend upon YouTube to be our platform to have worship, especially if we're sacramental. It don't work.
Well, of course, that's the thing. The move away from a sacramental sacramental theology is the perennial enemy of Christianity,
mm-hmm.
because it's Gnosticism. I actually did a lesson on the spirituality of matter in my catechism class last night, and the idea here is simply the basic incarnational theology, the sacramental principle, is that by the incarnation of Christ, the invisible God became a visible man. That means matter can become a vehicle for real grace.
Yes.
Of course, people will argue about that. Baptism is just a symbol. The Eucharist is just a symbol. Well, that's fine, but the church has never understood it that way, and the Bible says explicitly something different.
Exactly.
So you can believe that if you want to, but the sacramental principle is that matter can become sanctified itself, which is why we bless water for baptism. It's why we bless water for things like home blessings. We bless oil for a chrism. We bless all these things, because it's God's desire that the entire cosmos be sanctified. One of the things most people don't actually understand is that in John 3:16, which is the first verse many of us ever learned, right?
Yes.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Except that word world, God so loved the world, in Greek is the word cosmos. And you don't even need to know Greek to know what that means.
Yeah.
God so loved the cosmos. Now, if God desires to sanctify us body and soul, then he's going to provide for us material vehicles for grace, the means to do that, right? But if you cast that all aside and everything is Gnostic, it's all in your mind, it's all in your decision making, it has nothing to do with your body or your flesh, then having YouTube church is not only acceptable and desirable, it's necessary. And as soon as that is necessary, you are standing at the precipice. You are at the front porch of a Luciferian religion.
Amen.
Now, I know that's harsh.
It's got to be. It's got to be said. And the reason I'm pushing that is that I see too many people that I know and love that are falling into that trap of becoming YouTube stars. And they think this is the new way to do church. Don't even need a building. Don't need this. Don't need that. Everybody gathers around the smartphone and somebody holds it in the room or puts it on one of those little gimbal stands to keep it from rocking and rolling. And we can all do church together. And if you miss it, hey, because you did it on Facebook Live, after so many minutes, you can view it again later and skip through the parts that are boring if you want. I mean, how convenient can we make church?
And what you're really making is entertainment, because all you have to do is watch and have fun, just like watching a sitcom.
Yeah. Some of the services look a lot like a sitcom, but... I've seen.
No mistake.
I mean, and I'm not trying to be insulting. Look, I know that many churches had to do certain things early on because none of us really understood. We went with the original things we were told in February and March and all the way into April that it's going to be millions upon millions of Americans dead. And I came out of retirement to help a county, and I was told to anticipate at least 3,000 bodies piled up by the time we got to the month of June, and we better find a place to put them. Our hospitals would be overwhelmed to 5 or 8 times their capacity with all these sick people being drug in, and we're looking for temporary, morgues, temporary hospitals. I left there in May going, this is crazy. The hospital's running at 16% capacity, and that's with half of their staff or more being laid off. And I've got all these refrigerated trucks we've leased that we're not needing. And it was like, okay, when does all this suddenly happen? And there was just no indicator that said we're going to get there anytime soon. May goes by, June goes by. July goes by, still no 3,000 people. August goes around, and September's now behind us. We're just about like 50-something or less. I think it's 49, and not 3,000. And so we were told a lot of things, and the average age, by the way, was 87 in that group, 87. And, that was average age, and some were older, and virtually nobody in the younger age group died, and the number of infected was never near as much. And now we're finding out some of these tests are giving a lot of false positive information. So we're having an infection demic now, not a pandemic, an infection demic. We have all these huge numbers of people infected, but they have no symptoms. And so we're saying, yes, but those asymptomatic people, they're the evil spreaders that we have to put a mask on and keep out of a church. And we have to walk one way in a grocery store aisle or we're going to kill people. We've gone to the insane on this, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. What is your take?
It's programming. Everybody's being programmed to obey.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, you know, we all started off. If they asked us, we need to flatten the curve. Of course we're willing to make a sacrifice mm-hmm. to make it easier for everyone.
Yeah, remember, 2 weeks. We needed 2 weeks to do this.
Right.
Maybe three, maybe four, but we'll take it 2 weeks. Here we are, day 220 of our 14.
When the bell curve finally flattened out,
mm-hmm.
then they started talking no longer about deaths, because the deaths were minuscule. They started talking about total cases, and that's what they're still talking about.
All they talk about are cases.
By the way, the draconian efforts and maskings, and it's all part of a plan. However, and this is the important thing to remember, God has a plan for his
Amen.
Church. He really does. And he's not going to be dissuaded. The question people have to ask themselves is, are you going to be part of that plan?
Mm-hmm.
Not every pastor understands this. I'm not going to criticize any of them because I don't know them. But I'm telling you, we're going to continue being the church. We're going to continue building community. We're going to continue baptizing believers and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know for sure that historically, in our divine liturgy, in our Sunday worship service, there comes a place where the deacon comes out and he says, "The doors, the doors."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a call back to the earliest times when the doors of the church had to be barred shut at that point to prevent
yes.
the Romans from entering the church,
mm-hmm.
those who confess the faith and killing them. It's never been safe to be a Christian. Never. Never has it been a safe time to be a Christian. So going back to church when it's safe means never.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing churches to open again and be free when it's safe means never.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a vaccine means
never.
Never. And we're not asking permission to be the church. We don't ask permission to do what we do.
No.
We do it. And if the state likes it, great. If they don't like it, great. Doesn't matter.
You know, some people will argue, you're making a good point that needs to be quickly addressed here. A lot of people will talk about, but we're told in the Bible to obey governments. And that is true. Governments are ordained of God, supposedly for our own good and benefit. But there are evil governments out there as well, and God will hold them accountable. But St. Peter in the book of Acts makes it very clear that when the rules of man are in contradiction to the rules of God, we always obey God regardless of the consequences. If the state says you cannot worship, but God says I inhabit the praise of my people, are you going to say, well, God, though, but you know, the guy over there at the police department says we're not allowed to worship, so we can't obey you anymore. It was one thing when we're willing to do this until we understand what we're getting into. And now we're finding out we're being lied to. The media has kept this pandemic alive and well, and you're right. When's the last time anybody's written a big story about how many people are dying on a daily basis in the United States or in New York State that had one of the highest levels of deaths? There's like none right now.
Right. It's a non-story. So they switch gears, and like I said, liars can figure.
Mm-hmm.
They never tell the straight truth. So, you know, we have to go based on our best guess of what's going on, our best estimate of what's actually happening. But we can't rely on the media to tell us that.
Absolutely.
We have to look.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, you know, you have to listen to your spiritual leaders, your spiritual pastors. And let me be real frank about this. If your spiritual pastor can't determine that gay marriage is against the Lord's will,
mm-hmm.
you're in the wrong church.
Absolutely.
If you can't tell that abortion is an abomination before God, you're in the wrong church.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to be said about it. And if you believe that you can protest and you can go to Walmart, but going to church is a danger, you are going to the wrong church.
Absolutely.
Period.
Absolutely.
We're past the point of shaking hands and trying to be Christian gentlemen to each other. The center is emptying out. It's either traditional Christianity or it is radical modern humanism.
And the social media is not your friend. Let me give you a good example. My wife was alarmed by some story she saw that came out of the northeastern United States about some wedding where people got infected and some had to go to the hospital. And it was like a brand new story to make you panic. And I said, forward that story to me. That didn't even sound right. The story went back to May, in the early days of this. In other words, they're having to put these stories in your social media feed. This is not from some friend. This comes as a social media thing from good old fascist book. That's what I call it these days. And it's a story that is like 5 months old, out of date. And then you start checking the actual hospitalization and death figures in the state involved. They're virtually zero. And so they're trying to keep social media, Twitter and Facebook, they are not your friend. Either is YouTube.
No, just as the military industrial complex, which we were warned against a long time ago, wants to have perpetual war because it keeps us in perpetual slavery. So they figured out that if they can have a perpetual crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You can lock down the world's most powerful economy. You can lock down the world's freest people.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a backlash over this, and I hope it doesn't come to a civil war. But
it could.
The difference between Americans and Europeans and everybody else is that there's still a core of Americans who understand liberty and.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that, you know, the Second Amendment doesn't give them rights. The Second Amendment protects the rights they already have.
You know, one of the things that you're making it very clear, our schools have not been our friends either. We are turning out basically illiterate people with no grounding in history at all. They know nothing of history. They know very little about English. They know little about books and writing, and even their math skills are questionable today, and these are high school graduates that I have talked to, and they are proud of being a high school graduate, but they're functional illiterates. And, you know, what else would you want when you're trying to have people as sheeple, you know, under your control? Because they don't understand. They cannot think for themselves. There is no logic. There is no common sense. They believe everything their ruling class tells them. And I remember when Barack Obama was elected back in 2008, and it was a few days before his inauguration, and something he said just hit me the wrong way. He's being interviewed before he takes over. He said, "We will be ready to rule on inauguration day." We'll be ready to rule? I didn't know we had rulers in the United States. Did you?
Yeah, and that's how they think about it. The difficulty with dealing with a generation that have been told how smart they are, but actually don't know how to even think about the consequences of their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even talk to them about what we would call the law of unintended consequences.
Right.
That's a step of reasoning that is beyond their ability to understand. Hey, I feel about this. It must be good. This is because I feel good about it.
Yes.
And you're bad if you make me feel bad about
mm-hmm.
feeling good about it. Hey, look, one thing we learned... Again, the last century has been a great book on unintended consequences.
Yes.
You do something because you think it's the right. You do something that because you're trying to fix a problem, and you create giant more problems.
You know, Jesus...
Oh, happens so much.
Jesus comes to us as an individual, not as some corporate group or ethnic group or whatever the case may be. The world today tries to put you into a group, a classification, by race, by income, by if you're a Christian or a non-Christian or this, that, or the other. We're associated with a group, not who we really are. And this is one of the dangers that I see, that we're going to be placed in groups. You either believe in climate change, that's all man-made, or you don't. You're not believing in science, or you're not believing in the science of wearing a mask, even though we can't prove it. But the scientists, have you ever noticed one of the things that the media always talks about, and even like the doctor, you know, false Faucis of the world, and I call them that for a reason, he'll say, new studies, and he asks, well, where's the study? Well, I don't have it in front of me. There's a lot of studies out there that nobody can find. What is your take?
On stuff like that, even peer-reviewed articles, we're finding out that they're wrong. People haven't actually done their homework. They haven't tested them. They haven't done double-blind studies. They falsified information.
Yep.
I got the best wind of this during the big Ebola scare a couple of years ago, when the head of the CDC was standing next to Dr. Sanjay Gupta and saying, you know, you got to be at least 3 feet away from someone to possibly contract this virus. So, you know, and he's standing 3 feet away from Sanjay Gupta, so you possibly couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're standing within 3 feet of me. What are you saying? The nurse that had to go in and actually deal with that patient in Texas, we assumed there and there. Why would there not already be protocols in place for this kind of hazardous material issue? But they had none in place. So the competency of the medical professionals who are out there, but those who are appointed, those who are political appointees, those who, because it's just as easy to buy a doctor as it is to buy a celebrity or a politician. And people forget that.
You know, a lot of doctors have come out talking about this virus and how they've treated it. These are legitimate. I've checked a lot of them out because I'm a natural born skeptic, because I've been around this media and around the social media for a long time. A lot of garbage out there. But I have run into a number of real doctors that put out real videos about what they've really done and what their take is, what they're seeing in their community. And the fascist at Facebook and YouTube immediately shut them down, cut them off, cancel their accounts, because there is only one narrative. The narrative is hydroxychloroquine doesn't work ever, period. Forget about it. Vaccine. We must have a vaccine, or we're all going to have to stay locked down until the next year or two or three go by. And so get used to no school, get used to no this, or freedom, or being able to get around. And eventually, when we have this vaccine, we're going to need some kind of a digital passport so we don't put infected people on airliners. Well, if that's the case now, isn't the mask working, because you're running the airliners and apparently nobody's dying in an airliner? So what do you think is, we're about running out of time here, but real quick, your thoughts on that, then some closing thoughts.
Which it is so much later than most people realize. It is so much farther down the pike than most people realize. It's so much worse than people are able to perceive right now. They've got to take action now.
Amen.
You've got to have your communities now. You've got to have places where perhaps you can grow food or you can get out of the city. Not to bug out necessarily, but to bug in with people who you can trust. The church has to be the safest place on earth. And they've got to start thinking about it now.
Yes,
but it's almost too late.
I talk to people all the time, like you do. And there's a lot of people being stirred to leave some of the places they're at. And, you know, let those that want to buy into the, quote, world system stay there. And I really, God always provides places of sanctuary. And I know that I've heard some wonderful stories about Orthodox monks in Romania that God took care of for 3 years and in a place of sanctuary. And they were never found out until they were safe to get out. God, I think, will take care of his people if we're faithful and we're obedient to him. What is your thought? What is your closing thought?
Absolutely. It requires faith. It requires faith. And faith, frankly, requires some repentance. So my advice is that people actually get an examination of conscience. You can probably find one online. That they practice daily repentance. And then they turn to the Lord, who has a plan for his church, and ask to be made part of that plan and see where it takes you. That's my best advice. You know, my best general advice to people: repent daily, and prepare yourself to in faith to be part of God's plan for the church.
My guest today in the program has been Father John Peck. The Lord has just laid on his heart the idea of churches need to be prepared. We have to be ready for that time when, as you've seen in just 1 year, how fast a church can be shut down by some event in the world, and other places like, I don't know, the Walmarts and other locations and stores can function just fine. You could even fly in an airliner with your mask. We truly live in a dangerous time. And on the programs as we go forward over the next several weeks, I'll be bringing on several guests. We need to really understand that things are really changing and rapidly in our world today. If you'd like to contact the show, you can go to our website, which is truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Also, and right now, if you want to use regular mail, you can reach us at our Georgia home at 21 Berkshire Lane, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. And to help our postal people up here with our little mailbox situation, add the number 263. So that's 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, in Sky Valley, two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.